Please rise. The portion of Scripture that we turn our hearts to this morning is once again written for us in the book of Revelation. Today we look at chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." These are the words of our God. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow worshipers of our living Lord and Savior, for many of us gathered together here today, including myself, Mother's Day just isn't what it used to be. We can't give our mom a great big hug and say, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom." We can't call her on the phone and say, "I love you, Mom." We can't send her flowers or send her a card or even send her chocolates. Why? Because our mom is no longer with us on the face of this earth. Our mom has been called home to heaven. Now, if we were to focus on what we can't do today, then even this glorious Mother's Day could be tinged with just a little bit of sadness. And so instead of focusing on what we can't do today, let's focus on what we can do. We can show our love and our appreciation to the mother of our children and the mothers of our grandchildren. We can think back on all of the wonderful memories that we have of our mom. We can thank the good Lord for all of the blessings that he so richly gave to us through our moms. We can focus our attention on a portion of Scripture such as our text for today and rejoice. Rejoice at what our mom is experiencing right now as she lives in our Heavenly Father's home. Home. Home, sweet home. There's no place like home. No matter how you phrase it, my friends, whenever you and I think of being at home, our hearts smile. Home is a place of peace and joy. Home is a place of comfort and security. If you can indeed smile whenever you think of wherever you consider your home to be, then you'll be able to understand how I want us to approach our sermon text for today. Last week, we looked at a portion of John's vision of heaven that focused our attention on the Lamb who is worthy to be praised, the Lamb who is worthy of our worship, because the Lamb was willing to be slain for our sins and now lives again forever and ever. This morning, our sermon text focuses our attention on the saints who have now joined the Lamb and the angels in heaven forever and ever, utilizing a comparison that I have often used in the past. Today, let's study our text under the theme, Welcome Home. Using this portion of John's vision, let's peer into the window of our Heavenly Father's home and address three questions. First, who is there? Second, why are they there? And third, what is it like to be living there? As we peer into the window of our Heavenly Father's home this morning, we begin by addressing the question of who is there? Look at the opening portion of our text. John tells us, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." While we are here on this earth, it's not unusual for us to feel rather lonely, is it? While we are here on this earth, it is rather easy for us to feel that as faithful, Bible-believing children of God, we are greatly outnumbered. When we are at work, when we are at school, when we are out in our community, it is rather obvious from the way that people talk and from the way that people are living their lives that they do not believe and trust in our crucified and risen Savior. When we come here to church and see empty chairs, we might close our eyes and sigh. But when we peer into the window of our Heavenly Father's home, isn't it wonderful, absolutely wonderful to see that the saints in heaven comprise a great multitude that no one could count? This portion of John's vision of heaven reminds us of that glorious promise that the Lord God Almighty made to Father Abraham so many years ago. Remember that when Abraham was still childless, the Lord took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. So shall your offspring be." No matter how often and no matter how lonely we might feel here on this earth, isn't it wonderful to know that when we get home to heaven, we will never, ever be lonely again? Isn't it wonderful to know that when we get home to heaven, we will join that great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language? As we continue to peer into the window of our Heavenly Father's home, as we see the multitude of saints standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, the next question we want to address is why? Why are they allowed to live in the Heavenly Father's home? Look at verse 13 and 14. "Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" For a very long time, I have been teaching people that heaven is God's home. And just as you have the right, just as you have the authority to determine who will and who will not be allowed to live with you in your earthly home, so also God has the right. God has the authority to determine who will and who will not live with him in his heavenly home. Then I ask people to picture themselves standing at the door to the Heavenly Father's home and hearing him ask them one question. Why? Why should I let you live with me in my glorious heavenly home? There is only one correct answer to that question, my friends. If someone answers that question incorrectly, the God of heaven will say to them, "Depart from me." But if someone answers that question correctly, the God of heaven himself will say to them, "Welcome home." The only correct answer to that question, the only answer that guarantees that we will be allowed to live in our Heavenly Father's home forever, is the same answer to the question that John was asked in our text. These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? What is the only correct answer to that eternally important question? It is because Jesus, your Son, lived, died, and rose again for me. When God the Holy Spirit brought us to faith in Jesus as our only Savior from sin, whether it was as an infant in the sacrament of holy baptism or as an adult through the power of God's holy inspired word, He Himself dressed us in a beautiful white robe of absolutely perfect righteousness. That robe of righteousness, a robe that was secured for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill, guarantees that you and I will indeed live with God in His heavenly home forever and ever. In fact, Scripture itself assures us that everyone, absolutely everyone who dies, believing and trusting in Jesus as their Savior, will immediately, at the very moment of their death, they will hear the Heavenly Father say to them, "Welcome home." Isn't it wonderful, my friends, to be able to peer into the window of our Heavenly Father's home and with the eyes of faith, see the faces of the people that we love, people who are wearing that glorious white robe of righteousness, people who are standing among that great multitude that no one could count. Isn't it wonderful to know that because of the righteousness that Christ has given to us, that one day we too will join that glorious throng? What joy, what peace, what happiness and comfort that truth brings to you and to me. That leaves us just one more question to address. Once we see who is living in our Heavenly Father's home, once we see why they are allowed to live in our Heavenly Father's home, then we ask the question, what is it like to be living there in heaven, to be living in our Heavenly Father's home? Look at verses 15 through 17 of our text. To try and help us understand what our loved ones are experiencing in heaven right now, to try and help us understand what we will enjoy in heaven, I'd like you to remember three words: purpose, protection, and peace. You know, I love alliteration. Have you ever pondered what your purpose is here on this earth? Have you ever wondered why the good Lord still leaves you here on this earth? Well, both of those questions are legitimate subjects for different sermons. Today, let's focus on the first half of verse 15. All the saints in heaven share one glorious purpose. All the saints in heaven enjoy one glorious privilege, and that is to serve their Lord and Savior. The Greek word that's translated here in our text as serve can also legitimately be translated as worship. This brings us right back to verses 9 and 10 of our text. As the saints of God stand before the throne and in front of the Lamb, as the saints of God cherish that beautiful white robe of righteousness that they have been given, as the saints of God victoriously hold those palm branches in their hand, they gladly serve and joyfully worship their Lord and Savior because of the free gift of salvation that God has given to them, the gift of salvation that they know they do not deserve to receive. Isn't it a wonder that you and I have the privilege of looking into the window of God's heavenly home and seeing the purpose, seeing the privilege that our loved ones are enjoying, the purpose, the privilege of serving and worshiping their Savior God? Isn't it a wonder to know that one day we too will be given that very same purpose, that very same privilege. Now let's look at the second half of verse 15. The elder says to John, "And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them." Very literally, the Greek here says, the one who is sitting on the throne will live or dwell among them. Picture that glorious truth in your mind. The saints in heaven are living in the very presence of the triune God himself. They are constantly able to see him, to hear him, to listen to him, to talk to him. God himself has brought them into his presence. He brought them into his heavenly home. Can anyone harm them now? Can anything hurt them now? Not at all. Why? Because they are living under the protective wings of the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth himself. Isn't it a wonder to peer into the Heavenly Father's home and have the confidence of knowing that our loved ones are enjoying the protection of the one and only living God? Isn't it a wonder to be able to peer into the Heavenly Father's home and know that when he calls us home to heaven, we will also be under his almighty protective wings? The last truth that we want to focus on from this text is found in verses 16 and 17. When it comes to the question of what will it be like to live there in the Heavenly Father's home, these passages remind us that heaven is a place of perfect peace. You know as well as I do that as we journey through this world, peace, well, peace is very elusive. And perfect peace is absolutely impossible to find. Because of the reality of sin, work or school is all too often a place where we have to be instead of a place where we want to be. Because of the reality of sin, we struggle with strife, even in our own homes, even among the people that we love. Because of the reality of sin, there are all too many times when we find ourselves overwhelmed by situations that we cannot handle and undermined by things that we simply cannot control. But when we get home, my friends, when we get home, absolutely everything changes. So what will life in heaven be like? Look at how John describes it for us in verse 16. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. All the things that our loved ones simply had to endure while they were here on this earth, all of the things that hurt them, all of the things that made them sad or angry, all of the negative effects of sin, whether it was their own sins or the sins that others committed against them, all of that will be all gone, totally and completely gone forever. Ever, with all of the negative things gone, with all of the effects of sin taken away, heaven is then a place of perfect peace, joy, and happiness. Look at how John describes that in our text. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What is heaven like? Heaven is a place where the Lamb of God himself provides us with the unending joys that come from drinking freely from the springs of living water, from the well of eternal salvation. Heaven is a place where the Lamb of God himself gently wipes away every tear from our eyes and then takes away anything that could cause us pain or sadness. Heaven is a place that is filled with so much unbounded joy that everyone is always smiling. Isn't it wonderful to peer into the window of our Heavenly Father's home and see that our loved ones are enjoying that perfect peace, that joy, that happiness right now? Isn't it wonderful to know that when the good Lord calls us home, we will enjoy that very same perfect peace, that very same joy, that very same happiness, the instant our physical body dies, the instant our Heavenly Father says to us, "Welcome home." As we gather together here in God's house today to celebrate this glorious and wonderful Mother's Day, I pray that even if we can't give our mom a great big hug and say, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom," even if we can't call her on the phone and say, "I love you, Mom," that we will rejoice. Rejoice in the inheritance that she is now enjoying as she lives in our Heavenly Father's home. I also pray that by God's grace and by God's power, we will always stay close to Him, so that when it comes time for our journey here on this earth to come to an end, we will always have the confidence of knowing that our Heavenly Father will say to you and to me, "Welcome home, my child. Welcome home." To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated as we join together in bringing the very best of our offerings to the altar of our God.